They whipped him and spat on him. They didn't understand that this was the Prince of Life, the King of heaven and earth, who had come to rescue them. The soldiers made him a sign, "Our King," and nailed it to a wooden cross. They walked up a hill outside the city. Jesus carried the cross on his back. Jesus had never done anything wrong, but they were going to kill him the way criminals were killed. They nailed Jesus to the cross. "Father, forgive them," Jesus gasped. "They don't understand what they're doing." "You say you've come to rescue us," people shouted, "but you can't even rescue yourself." But they were wrong. Jesus could have rescued himself. A legion of angels would have flown to his side if he'd called. "If you were really the Son of God, you could just climb down off that cross," they said. And of course they were right. Jesus could have just climbed down. Actually, he could have just said a word and made it all stop. Like when he healed that little girl and stilled the storm and fed 5,000 people. But Jesus stayed. You see, they didn't understand. It wasn't the nails that kept Jesus there. It was love. "Papa," Jesus cried, frantically searching the sky. "Papa, where are you? Don't leave me." And for the first time and the last, when he spoke, nothing happened. Just a horrible, endless silence. God didn't answer. He turned away from his boy. Tears rolled down Jesus' face, the face of the one who would wipe away every tear from every eye. Even though it was midday, a dreadful darkness covered the face of the world. The sun could not shine. The earth trembled and quaked. The great mountains shook. Rocks split in two, until it seemed that the whole world would break. The creation itself would tear apart. The full force of the storm of God's fierce anger at sin was coming down on his only son. Instead of his people, it was the only way God could destroy sin and not destroy his children, whose hearts were filled with sin. Then Jesus shouted in a loud voice, "It is finished." And it was. He had done it. Jesus had rescued the whole world. "Father," Jesus cried, "I give you my life." And with a great sigh, he let himself die. Strange clouds and shadows filled the sky, purple, orange, black, like a bruise. Jesus' friends gently carried Jesus. They laid Jesus in a new tomb carved out of rock. How could Jesus die? What had gone wrong? What did it mean? They didn't know anything anymore, except they did know their hearts were breaking. "That's the end of Jesus," the leader said. But just to be sure, they sent strong soldiers to guard the tomb. They hauled a huge stone in front of the door to the tomb so that no one could get in or out. And then our second reading is, Luke 23, verse 35. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise."
Fantastic. Well, good morning all. Thank you, Steph, for those readings. Should we just take a moment to pray just before we start? Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of Good Friday. And as we sit and as we unpack your word, may your spirit speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to start this morning with a story. So if you are maybe feeling a bit wriggly, settle in. It's time for a story. And while they're doing that, let me just introduce myself. I'm James, one of the members here. And it's really exciting to be here together this morning. So kids, are we ready? Are we all ready? Yeah, we all look settled. Let's go. So once upon a time, there were six blind men on the side of a road. They'd all heard about elephants, but none of them had ever seen one. And then one morning down the road, they heard what sounded like an elephant. And it stopped right there in front of them. The driver pausing the elephant, and they got up slowly to go and see what this elephant was like. But they obviously couldn't see it, so they went to touch it. The first man got up, and he happened to get to the side of the elephant and said, "Well, well, now I know all about this beast. It is like a wall." The second said, "My brother, you are wrong," as he reached out and touched the tusk. "You are mistaken, because it is nothing like a wall. It is round and smooth and sharp. It's more like a spear than anything else." The third happened to get hold of the trunk and said, "Both of you are wrong. Anyone knows that this elephant is like a snake." The fourth reached out, grasping the leg, and said, "Oh, how blind you are. It is clear that the elephant is like a tree." The fifth, very tall man, grabbed the ear and said, "Oh, how foolish you all are. The elephant is like a fan." And the sixth, very blind indeed, took a while to get to the elephant. And then at last seized the tail and said, "Oh, foolish fellows, you have lost your senses. It is not like a wall or a tree or a fan. It's a rope. This elephant is like a rope." Now, I start with that fable this morning because each of those six blind men only had a part of the picture. And each of them were going and making judgments on the elephant based on their small part. They didn't know all the details and they jumped to the conclusions. And in fact, that's in a way what we see in our Good Friday story this morning. Different people, each with a different perspective, but only a part of the picture. As they were trying to figure out through the day who Jesus was and why he was dying on the cross. Now, in the drama this morning, and a massively great job done by the team there, we heard about Pilate and his wife, we heard about Barabbas, we heard about Peter, and we heard about Mary. Each of them with their own perspective and their own pieces of information, trying to figure out who Jesus was and why he was dying. But none of them had the full picture. And then in our passage that we've just read, we heard about the soldiers, the centurions, we heard about the rulers, and we heard about the criminals. Each of them also making their judgments on Jesus with only a part of the picture. So let's have a look at those in our passage, shall we? We first of all, in verse 35 and verse 36, we see the opinion of the rulers and the soldiers. They stood there mocking him. They were shouting and yelling at him, telling him to get himself down if he really was the Son of God. And so what we see in their response is that they are clearly telling us that their viewpoint is that Jesus cannot be God's son. He can't be the Messiah because in their minds, people were crucified only if they were guilty and crucified only if they could not save themselves or get out of it, if they were too weak to overcome the Romans. So they saw Jesus as weak and as a fraud. They were clearly saying that he wasn't a king because he was too weak to keep his own life. But they were wrong. Secondly, we hear of the first criminal later on who starts hurling insults at Jesus, all focused on himself. "Get us down," he shouts at Jesus. "Come on, if you're really God's son, get me off this cross." He was only focused on himself, his own suffering, his own pain, and his own earthly life. That's what mattered to that criminal more than anything else. He was focused on himself and assumed that Jesus would be focused on himself too. But he was wrong. And then thirdly, we see the second criminal, who, unlike the first, did fear God. And he thought about life as this eternal thing, not just focused here on earth. The second criminal, he was different because he knew that Jesus was innocent, just like Pilate and his wife earlier. And he knew that Jesus was a king coming into a kingdom. So he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into that kingdom that was in the future. And he believed that Jesus' death would somehow lead to that kingdom coming to be fulfilled. And he was right in that Jesus was a king. But the criminal didn't have the full picture. He was blinded to the whole reality. Because the reality is, and the piece that he was missing, is the why. The why Jesus died, because in the criminal's eyes, God, Jesus' kingdom was still to come. And in some ways it is, but Jesus has been ruling since creation began. He was there from the beginning because he is God. So Jesus didn't have to die to go to his kingdom, because he could have just ascended. The truth is, he didn't die so he could enter the kingdom and become a king. He died so that you and I could enter that kingdom and live with him as our king. You see, you and I are the ones who don't have the way to the kingdom because we've rejected him. Each and every day, putting ourselves at the center of those moments rather than God. We choose to think what we want, say what we want, and do what we want rather than at times accepting God's way. So Jesus didn't die because he was guilty or a fraud or too weak to get down off the cross like everyone thought. No, it wasn't the nails that held him there. It was love. Love for you and love for me. Despite us saying no to his best plan every day, which is what the Bible calls sin. He stayed on that cross because he loves you so much that he wants to be in a relationship close with you. So Jesus took the punishment for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world, yesterday, today, and in the future. And that punishment, what was it? Death and separation from God. That's why on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment, Jesus was taking the separation from God that we deserve, that our sin causes. In that moment when he said it was finished, he took the death that we deserve on the cross so that we could come close. The gap that our actions and our sin cause could be bridged. So we could have the relationship with God that he always wanted us to have. One that's up close and personal. So today, whilst we've looked at many different people who have many different parts of the story, and even Luke trying to put all of those pieces together earlier, we have the blessing truth that we can come to the Bible, which gives us the whole story, the full picture of not just the what, not just the who, but the why. That we have the truth that on the cross, Jesus died for our sins. And it also tells us the next part of that story, the next part of the reality, that if we confess our sin, if we come to God and say sorry, then no matter what we've done, no matter the past, no matter the present, no matter what we do in the future, we can be right with God. Not because we deserve it, but because Jesus died for it. And so today, that's the question, isn't it? Are we going to accept that invitation to come and be honest with God, admit where we've got it wrong, and accept his gift of making that way into his eternal kingdom? So we're going to do that now as we respond. We're going to take a moment to, in front of you and around you, and in some cases on the floor at the front, there'll be some pieces of paper and pens. And would you just, if they're on the ends of the rows, and would you be able to grab them and just pass them down the rows for me? Because I want to take to give us a moment to actively respond to this truth. To actively respond to the reality that if we confess our sin, he will forgive us. And it's in our confession that we accept that gift of his salvation. So Jacob's going to come and play in the background. I'm just going to give us a couple of minutes to respond. Just by, on that piece of paper, writing your confession to God, whatever that might look like today. Maybe it's a list of things you want to say sorry for. Maybe it's things that you've thought. Maybe it's things that you've said. Or maybe it's things that you've done. And then what we'll do at the end is we'll come and say the words of confession in a few minutes. So just take a moment just to grab a pen and just write your prayer of confession to God now.